Well, one promise the Coalition has been upfront about, should it win government, is it would cut 12,000 jobs from the Commonwealth Public Service. Tony Abbott argues the federal bureaucracy has grown by 20,000 positions over 5 years without a commensurate increase in service delivery or efficiency. And it should be noted those numbers include everyone on the public purse, including defence and people in statutory authorities. Labor says the number of public servants has grown 13,000. But the criticism of a bloated and inefficient public service is rejected by one of the nation's most senior former bureaucrats. Terry Moran is the former head of Prime Minister and Cabinet. He's now the national president of the Institute of Public Administration. Terry, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hi there, Fran.
You challenge this perception of a bloated public service. You say it's a myth. Why?
Well, the point I've been making is that since 1984, there's been a steady and large decline in the proportion of the public sector as a proportion of the total workforce, from 26% to 16%. And this is the Commonwealth, state governments, local government. And the biggest decline has really been at the Commonwealth level, followed by the states and territories. Now, that level of employment can decline further, but it tends to rely on achieving efficiencies and ministers deciding what they do want to do or not want to do through the public sector workforce.
So the numbers like the public service has grown by 20,000 over 5 years, as Tony Abbott says, or 13,000 over 5 years, that shouldn't be a concern?
Well, that's a response to ministers wanting things done. So a new government can change its mind about what it wants done, or, as I think the Coalition has probably said, turn to the states to take more responsibility for direct service delivery, and that will bring the numbers down. But it's those decisions that must drive any change. But they have to be seen in the context of a huge change that's already been occurring in public sector employment, as I said, not just at the Commonwealth level, but at the state and territory level, over the last few decades.
You're also, at the centre, I think, of your belief is that public sector reform goes hand in hand with broader economic reform, that they're linked. And that's one argument for cutting too deeply into the public service. You said we should look at reforming it rather than cutting it. Is that basically your belief?
Well, we can cut it. I'm not denying that. But I think the motive in doing it has to be different than just a desire to chop heads. The reason is that over 30 years, the public sector has been a key part of economic and social reform in Australia, and that's what's provided for the decline in the relative size of the public sector workforce. And it's been consistent under both sides of politics, and I think probably that's what Joe Hockey is talking about. But my message was directed at public servants. Public servants should understand that over 30 years they've made a huge contribution to turning Australia into something better than what it was and something that's better equipped to deal with the challenges of the future.
Can you tell us more about that? How? Give us an example, a good example
of
that.
Well, for instance, national competition policy in the 90s brought about a big and significant increase in GDP, and that involved privatising government activities, corporatising them, outsourcing them, and that was a big contributor to the decline in the public sector workforce. In other countries that have wanted to reform, there's been obstinate refusal to go along with those reforms and make the changes that are necessary in the public sector workforce. And further, I'm suggesting in my remarks that there are about five themes for further reform in the public sector which we could look at and take those into the future along with the further considerable changes on the economic and social front which we need.
What's the first of those reforms you'd make?
The first of those reforms I'd make would be to actually ensure that we devolve as much activity as possible in service delivery down to the local level, not just to state governments, but down into communities, because that's where you get more responsiveness, higher quality, greater efficiency. And it's nuts for the Commonwealth to try and set up service delivery operations in health, education, vocational education and training and so forth, because there are other people beyond states and at state level who will do it better, and that can yield big efficiencies and be the basis of, if necessary, some reduction in headcount.
So would you suggest the Labor governments of the Rudd government, the Gillard government, have been going in the wrong direction when under the name of getting rid of the blame game, the Commonwealth has, for instance, tried to take over more responsibility for health and health funding, and we have now the Commonwealth model for schools funding?
What the Commonwealth's tried to do is clear up the way in which hospitals are funded, and I think the design of that is a very, very strong design. But what it permits over time is for the Commonwealth to be less involved in the details of how hospitals operate. It's got to set the efficient price, provide a fixed proportion of the money, hold states and territories and hospital networks accountable for what's delivered, and stand back and stop employing lots of people to meddle in program delivery at the local level.
And currently there are too many people meddling, as you'd say?
I think so, yes.
Another change you advocate is to give public servants, senior public servants, more involvement or direct contact with journalists and the public in terms of providing information. And you say in your speech yesterday, you say the 24-hour news cycle, the proliferation of news online is a real argument for this. Why? I mean, governments try to get in the way and stop public servants talking out publicly, don't they?
Yeah, well, Fran, the logic of it is over the next 10 or 20 years, we face continuing major reform in the economy and in our society. People in the community will only accept that if they have some chance of understanding it. They'll only understand it if journalists and others can explain it to them, or they can access credible information online, not dopey stuff. And politicians can only take that so far. In the period of the 90s, when there was a lot of reform, there was a lot of authorised background briefing of senior journalists on the technical issues behind reform so that journalists understood the workings of the reform and what it meant and what it would deliver.
Why did that change?
Well, I think it's probably a part of the immediacy of the media at the moment. It's part of more attention to much of what government does on a gotcha basis. And it's also that people around ministers, immediately around ministers, wanted to do all of that because they didn't fully trust the senior people in the public service to be involved in that enterprise as previous governments had done.
Is it also a triumph of the notion of spin over substance?
Well, it can give that impression. And all I'm saying is that if you look at the experience of the 90s, a huge amount was achieved in Australia, and people went along with it in the community because they understood it better than I think on most fronts people understand reform at the moment.
And just very briefly, Terry, sorry, I've only got a minute to the news, but you'd also take some of the pressure off the ministers directly, the politicians, and the doctrine of ministerial responsibility.
That's right. They're running themselves ragged on the detail when they ought to be focusing on the big story and doing the big things, leading the big things that will make a difference to Australia.
Terry Moran, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Terry Moran is the National President of the Institute of Public Administration in Australia. He's a very experienced and senior former public servant. He has been the head of Prime Minister and Cabinet and worked across several state governments as well.